This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub & Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kibbles & Gifts, your one stop for pet supplies on the coastside.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
So drive along Highway 1 near Kelly Avenue in Half Moon Bay many times of the year. Look over toward Cunha Middle School. Look at the soccer fields. And oftentimes, if it's a Saturday, you'll see like three or four, maybe even five games going on. Dozens of kids playing soccer, running around. And my guest today is the woman who's largely responsible for that. She's been the commissioner of AYSO soccer here in Half Moon Bay for the past 3 years. Carol Hunter, welcome.
Nice to be here.
I want to talk to you about how the program has grown during the 3 years you've been running it. Recently you stepped aside after three great years, and we'll talk maybe about the new commissioner, maybe even work her in as well. But first of all, I want to find out how you got involved, how you came to be commissioner of AYSO soccer here in Half Moon Bay 3 years ago.
Well, it's kind of a funny story. If you'd asked me maybe, you know, 4 years ago if I'd ever, or 5 years ago, if I'd ever be a commissioner, I would never have thought that. I'd never played a day of soccer in my life. I'm not really a big sports person, but my son, when he was five, my friend was going to be coaching an AYSO team, and she said maybe he want to play, so I thought that'd be fun. He seemed to be liking it, and then I got, you know, started getting desperate emails from the current commissioner saying, we need volunteers, please help out, you know, and I thought, well, I want to do my part so I can help out. And so I replied and said, well, I could help, you know, with publicity, maybe putting up flyers and stuff like that. And he said, great, that's a board position. We'll see you at the next board meeting. And I went, what? So I started going to these board meetings and sitting there, and, you know, they're talking about referees and, you know, roster sizes and all this kind of stuff. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And I'm thinking, why am I here? But after a while, I started kind of getting more involved and getting to know the people. And then the registrar was stepping down, and they said, Carol, you should be the new registrar. You'd be great. I said, no, I'm too busy. I can't do that. Okay, fine, I'll do that. So then I was the new registrar, and then the next year the commissioner was stepping down. They said, Carol, you should be the new commissioner. And I said, no, are you crazy? I can't do that. But then I said, okay, sure. And so kind of took that on, and it's been an amazing experience. You know, a lot of work, but just amazing to be part of this great organization.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure it's been a ton of work. But what have the rewards been doing this the past 3 years? What have you gotten out of it?
Well, I think probably the biggest reward is just kind of getting to know some amazing people in the community, our volunteer corps, just the people that put, you know, their so much time into doing this. And when I walk around town now, I'm kind of like a mini celebrity because I just know so many people. You know, my kids are like, oh, mom, you're like talking to everybody, you know. So I definitely like have met so many people in all different aspects of the community by doing this job. And also, of course, you know, on Saturday morning, just seeing, you know, all those kids out there with their smiling faces, and, you know, kids that are really shy, maybe would never have, you know, tried a sport, and they're trying it and loving it. And, you know, there's all different levels, and it really brings people together, I think, in a way that's wonderful. You know, kids from all different schools, people from all different socioeconomic levels and ethnic groups and everything. You know, when you're on a soccer team, those are your teammates. And, you know, because we form new teams every season, you know, those kids, they get to know new people, you know, year after year. And the coaches can develop a special relationship with their kid, being their child's coach, and also with other kids in the community. And so, you know, they're developing those relationships with kids that they would not have met. So it kind of brings the community together, which is really rewarding.
Well, I have witnessed your enthusiasm firsthand. It was at a KHMB remote that I met you, and I happened to mention that, oh, back in the day, I coached my daughter's soccer team, and you said, well, we're always looking for coaches, and that's how I came to coach a team this past season. But for the most part, it's parents who get involved, or just community members, or people who just want to give back to the community or help with their child's team.
Right. It's probably like 95% parents, and a lot of, you know, I mean, that's one of the most difficult parts of the job is just, you know, we have amazing volunteers and we have so many volunteers that give so much, but we always need more because we have so many teams and we try to keep the roster sizes really small so that the kids get a lot of playing time. But that means you have a lot of teams and every team needs a coach and an assistant coach and a team manager and a referee. So that's a lot of volunteers for each kid. So, it's mostly parents that, you know, sometimes you have to pull the card saying, you know, look, we have these kids that want to play. We have enough kids to form 8 teams, but we only have 6 coaches. So that means we're going to have, you know, cut 16 kids that won't be able to play unless somebody steps up. And then, you know, some parent will be like, okay, you know, I don't know about a lot about soccer, but I'll give it a try. And I think AYSO has some really great training programs to bring people into the fold that, you know, maybe they don't know much about soccer, but they have the desire to learn, and we can give you the tools to do that. But it is wonderful when we have people like you who from the community that don't have kids that are willing to come in and invest the time just to serve their community. And so we do have a few of those and would love to get more. So if you want to volunteer, let me know.
Well, and one thing that really appealed to me about the AYSO philosophy was the fact that winning isn't the most important thing. It's sportsmanship, exercise for the kids, things like that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that's a really important aspect and kind of something that separates us from some other sports organizations. AYSO has 6 philosophies that everything is bound on. So the first is open registration. You don't have to try out to play. Anybody can play, whether you are a soccer star or you've never played at all. You know, you just register on time and you can be on a team. We also have balanced teams. So every season we look at the ratings from the previous season and we try to put teams together that are going to have a mixture of, you know, stronger players and weaker players and middle players so that when they come together to play, there's not going to be just one team that dominates that, because that's going to be more fun. And actually, you know, creates better competition. Like true competition is when people are kind of equal and anybody can win if they, you know, put their heart into it. Let's see if I can remember the other.
Well, I know everybody plays, which is great.
Right. So everyone plays. So, if you're on a team, you're guaranteed to play at least half of the game. And we try to keep our rosters low enough so that every kid can play 3/4 of the game. So you're not going to be put on a team and you're on the second string and you know, go to all the practices, but you never get to participate in a game, because we believe the way that you learned how to play soccer is by playing. So we want kids, regardless of their skill level, to be out there on the field. We also have positive coaching. So the coaches are, you know, we say that they have to give the kids pie, which is all their communication should be positive, instructional, and encouraging, I think. So no negative comments. You're not going to lambast a kid. And, you know, if they make a mistake, that's how you learn. And so that's respected there. And then we also have player development. So our goal is to provide programs that are going to take the player from where they are and help them improve as a player.
So you've been commissioner for 3 years now, and you've been kind enough to compile some numbers here. I was wondering, I think I know or had heard that AYSO soccer has really grown the past 3 years. Can you quantify that a little bit for me?
Yeah, so I have some numbers. So like in 2010, we had about 500 players, and in 2014, we had 644. That's with our fall and spring programs. So that's a 30% growth over those years. And we've also been able to add some, you know, growth in different areas. We've added a U5 program that just targets 4-year-olds, and it's only on Saturday morning. So it's a very age appropriate and fun way to get younger kids to play. And we've also been really fortunate to add upper division teams.
Why after 3 years have you stepped down? I just busy.
Yeah, it's very busy. And like I said, it's not, you know, I never really pictured myself, you know, soccer is not necessarily like my personal touchstone. You know, it's not, it's been an amazing experience, but it's not something that I want to continue necessarily focusing on soccer. I have some other things that I would like to do. My kids are not interested in playing anymore. So, you know, they've had an amazing experience here, but, I'd like to be able to spend some time on the activities that my kids are doing.
Thanks for talking with us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
KHMB correspondent Peter Finch with our feature story of the week. And this is Jim Henderson. On behalf of all those who make Radio Magazine possible, thank you for listening. And now, get ready as we journey back to the year 1956, courtesy of the KHMB Time Machine and host Cameron Palmer. Next on your one and only hometown community station, AM and FM, KHMB Radio.
You've been listening to the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
Hello, I'm Susan Ackerman, and I live down on the South Coast, and I come to Granola's, have coffee with my friends, have their incredibly delicious quiche, and have their gluten-free pastries. We love sitting around their handmade redwood tables and soft cushioned seats and being in just a super relaxing, lovely, non-stressful coffee house. The coffee's amazing as well, and they serve it with almond milk, coconut milk, and any sort of creamer.
Granola's Coffee House, open Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Saturday and Sundays, 7:30 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Granola's Coffee House is located at 116 North Cabrillo Highway, next to BK Motors and Half Moon Bay.
This is the home of Radio Magazine, locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
The woods washed over me, filling me suddenly with warmth and peacefulness, as if the advertisement were there especially for me and was pleased that I'd found it. To those who appreciate wisteria and sunshine, that's me! But who am I to be reading about Italian castles and Aprils on the Mediterranean? Who am I?
The Coastal Repertory Theater presents Enchanted April, a romantic comedy of healing and rebirth that will leave you glowing with warmth and hope. Enchanted April runs from April 1st through April 24th, and there is a book early discount of 15% if you reserve your tickets online by April the 8th. For available seating and to order your tickets, visit CoastalRep.com. Performances at 8 p.m. on Friday and Saturdays, Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. Enchanted April, a romantic comedy now playing at the Coastal Repertory Theater, Half Moon Bay.
Time keeps on slipping into the future.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer.
1956. We are now into the first week of 1956. What were things like on the coast side back then? Well, check in the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review. The price of haircuts now up to $1.75. Inflation has gone to the head. Figuratively speaking, of course, or so it will seem when you next go to your favorite barber. The Half Moon Bay Barbers Association announced today that haircuts have gone up to $1.75. John Iacopetti, a barber in Half Moon Bay, says that this is the first price increase since 1951. Prices will be uniform at all three of the Half Moon Bay Barber Shop. And the American Legion gives two pictures. American Legion Post 474 of Half Moon Bay last week made presentations of two framed pictures of President Dwight D. Eisenhower to the Coastside Elementary Schools. And Howard Clyer is the new Coastside auto dealer. Howard Clyer, the Mid-Coast, new acquired ownership of the Shaw Chevrolet Company of Half Moon Bay. Clyer comes to the community from Castro Valley, where he is presently presiding with his wife and family. And big global warming. And now for a little history from my restaurant, Cameron's Pub. A good friend recently shared photos of her grandkids at Cameron's Inn. She said her grandkids visit and come down to the inn as their list of things to do. They asked if they want to go to the amusement park and always get a big yes. I like hearing that, since refer to Cameron's Inn as the Disneyland of pubs. She went on to say that some of their best photos of the grandkids have been taken here. They have a collection of Cameron's Inn photos of the kids by the double-decker bus, the taxi cab, the great pumpkin, the stocks, and the phone booth. One fun photo I've watched happen is excited grandparents letting their grandkids pile into the phone booth. Photo ops are everywhere. The kids were told the old boat was a pirate ship. If you missed the boat, it's now located at the entrance of the campground. Many things have been moved around to make room for the new hotel. Those wanting to dine out now use the doggy patio in the barrel garden out front. You don't have to bring a dog to use it. We also moved the lounge chairs and hammocks and the fire pit so that the preferred outdoor seating will have a spot. And there's actually an ocean view from that area as well. Come watch a memory at Cameron's Inn with photo ops not to be found anywhere else. We're in the business of serving up memories, and we hope to see you soon at Cameron's Restaurant, Pub and Inn, and of course, RV Camping. Big global and national events are taking place in 1956. Egypt nationalizes the Suez Canal, and Britain, France, Israel, and the United States attacked Egypt. Cuba revolutionaries, including Fidel Castro, land in Cuba at the start of the Cuban Revolution. The United States carries out an H-bomb test at Bikini Atoll. In the Pacific, and Alabama bus segregation laws are declared illegal by the Supreme Court. The increase in living standards and the focus on education helps to fuel the increase in college education, with one in three high school graduates going off to college. The cost of living is good in 1956. You can buy a house for under $12,000 or rent for $88 a month. If you like to have your morning coffee while driving to work, ground coffee is 85 cents a pound, and a gallon of gas is just 22 cents. Top 40 hits in 1956 are blend of a different music styles with the likes of Ella Fitzgerald, Dean Martin, Chuck Berry, and Elvis Presley. But there is no denying that the rock and roll dance craze is sweeping the world. This artist had his first hit record in 1956 and would have a total of 11, yes, 11 hit records before his year came to an end. No one has ever come close. No wonder they called him the king of rock and roll. Here's Elvis Presley with his first hit record, Heartbreak Hotel.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so, I'll be just a lonely baby. I'll be just a lonely, I'll be so lonely I'll make a die. Man, the bellhop's tears keep flowing, the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long on the lonely street, they'll never, they'll never look back and think of some. It's a lonely baby. Well, they're so lonely. Well, they're so lonely and they could die. Well, if your baby leaves you, you've got a tale to tell. Well, just take a walk down the lonely street to Heartbreak Hotel where you will be. Well, you'll be just a lonely baby. Well, you'll be lonely. You'll be so lonely you could die. Thank you.
good-hearted lovers to cry the blue. So get so lonely, baby, well, they're so lonely. They'll be so lonely they could die.
She would have only two records in her entire career, and they were both hits this year. This record was on the charts for 22 weeks, a record-breaking 8 weeks at number one. Here's Gogie Grant and her solid gold hit, The Wayward Wind.
The wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind. The next of kin to the wayward wind. In a lonely shack by a railroad track, he spent his younger days. And I guess the sound of the outward bound made him a slave to his wandering ways. And the wayward wind, this wind that yearns to wander, and he was born the next of kin, the next of kin to the wayward wind. Part. Though he tried his best to settle down, I'm now alone with a broken heart. And the wayward wind is a restless wind, a restless wind.
Thank you for joining us for another ride in the KHMB Time Machine. Until next week and another year, I'm Cameron Palmer.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
This is the home of Radio Magazine. Locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
Coming up Sunday, April 24th at Half Moon Bay Airport, it's the Pacific Coast Dream Machines Show. Celebrating 26 amazing years, this year's Dream Machines welcome back fan favorites like electrifying freestyle motocross stunt shows, monster truck rides, and unimotorcycle drag races. New this year, expert skydiving performances featuring precision military-style jumps out of a C-47 Skytrain. And of course, there are the magnificent machines, more than 2,000 of the world's coolest cars, trucks, motorcycles, military aircraft, and more. All that, plus live music, food and drink, and activities for the kids. Plus, it all benefits a great cause, the Coastside Adult Day Health Center. For more details, go to MiramarEvents.com. Sunday, April 24th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Half Moon Bay Airport. It's Pacific Coast Dream Machines.
If I could talk to the animals.
It's time for Pet Patrol. Everything that pertains to our pets and animals. Pet Patrol is brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the coast side. Visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com. And now, your host for Pet Patrol, Krista Livingston.
One of the enduring mysteries of cats' behavior is why they cover their feces after eliminating. One theory is that they're trying to hide their presence from predators, as cats in the wild are believed to do, but no studies support that idea. Another suggests that the behavior is an indication of cats' fastidiousness, but that doesn't explain fastidious cats who leave urine or feces uncovered. The real answers are far more complicated. Kittens instinctively cover their eliminations by 1 month of age by raking loose dirt over the excrement. The specific site and substrate tend to be learned from the mother cat. It's believed that the odor of the feces initiates the burying behavior. In fact, some cats will cover the feces of other cats in the household. Pet Patrol continues in a minute, but first, what's new at Kibbles and Gifts? We're happy to be carrying Origin for dogs and cats. Origin is super premium pet food made in Canada. We also have what you need to spoil your backyard chickens: scratch and peck organic feed, organic treats for chickens, natural coop cleaner, supplements, bedding, and more. Come on in and take a look around. Kibbles is located next to Safeway in the Strawflower Shopping Center. You can visit us online at kibblesandgifts.com or give us a call at 726-3700. Now back to the show. Feral cats usually bury their feces within their core area, the area where they spend most of their time, but do so less often in other areas. Uncovered feces tend to be found along frequented routes or on elevated areas, which may send a message to other cats about a particular cat's sex or state of health. Feral cats also tend to use multiple areas for eliminating, which may help prevent parasite transmission. It is possible that domestication has affected this burying behavior, and that may explain why some household cats don't cover their feces. Having a cover on a litter box doesn't affect whether the cats bury their feces, but it can determine whether they use the litter box. Most cats prefer uncovered litter boxes, probably because they have more room to move around and because the odor isn't trapped inside the box. In addition, cats cannot see out very well in a covered box, making them more vulnerable to being ambushed by another cat. In this case, instinct prevails. Until next week, this is Krista Livingston with Kibbles and Gifts and Kibbles Pet Care.
If I could talk to the animals.
Pet Patrol is a regular feature of KHMB Radio. If you have an animal-related announcement, just call us at 453-4000 or email us pets@khmbradio.com. Pet Patrol has been brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the coast side. Phone them at 726-3700 or visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com.
This is the home of Radio Magazine. Locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
It's tough out there, and you're probably feeling it with every bill you open, every payment you make, and every paycheck you stretch a little bit further than the last one. It means cutting costs, and one of the best places to start is at the office of State Farm agent Heidi Kuiper in Half Moon Bay. Because Heidi is there to walk you through a free discount double check and make sure you're getting the car insurance discounts you deserve. Whether it's being a good driver, having a good student, or combining your car and home policies, Heidi knows how to turn 10% here, 15% there into real savings. Savings that could add up to hundreds of dollars. Now that's cutting back on costs without cutting back on coverage. Sound good? Then give State Farm agent Heidi Kuiper in Half Moon Bay a call today at 726-1108. Because being there to help you keep more of your money in your pocket is why Heidi's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Hello, I'm Jan Ogar Andrea. I'm a registered nurse working for the San Mateo County Health System and the EMS Agency. I'd like to speak with you today about heart attack, the importance of knowing the signs and symptoms of heart attack, and, most important, calling 911 right away. So why should you care about heart attack? Nationally, there are approximately 9,000 heart attacks a year, or one every 34 seconds. Heart attack is still the leading cause of death for both men and women. And with heart attack, seconds do count. With the heart, time is muscle. It's important to know the symptoms of heart attack. They're not the same for everyone. The most common symptom is described as pain, discomfort, or sometimes a pressure or a heaviness in the chest, the upper body, shoulders, arms, or even the jaw. This may be accompanied by unexplained sweatiness, shortness of breath, nausea, or dizziness. If you're concerned that you might have a heart attack or that someone you care about might be having a heart attack, don't wait. Call 911 right away. Again, the symptoms are pain, discomfort, pressure or heaviness in the chest, upper body, or arms, sweatiness, nausea, shortness of breath, or dizziness. After a brief commercial break, I'll talk about why it's important to call 911 and the system of care we've developed here in San Mateo County for caring for individuals with heart attack.
Hi, my name is Kathy. I live up in Monterra, and I've been on the coastside for almost 30 years. I'm married and have a family. I became a patient of Dr. Shepherd's, I believe, almost as soon as I came to the coastside. Probably about 10 years ago, I looked into having some of my teeth either whitened or replaced. I had noticed that they were chipping away. I am a smiler. I have been my whole life. So I really noticed more and more that when, as I was looking, that some changes were going on. And so I went to Dr. Shepherd, and it transformed me. I just love it. It was an easy process. It was painless. It took a lot less time than I thought it was going to take. It's a decision I have never looked back on. It was a great decision to make.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street. Phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
Hello again. I'm Jan Ogar Andrea from the San Mateo County Health System, the EMS agency, talking to you about heart attack, knowing the signs, and calling 911. So why is it important to call 911? Paramedics will arrive in 7 to 8 minutes. The paramedic can start your evaluation and treatment of heart attack right away, including pain management. Paramedics have the same kind of EKG that's used in the emergency department. They can transmit this EKG to the hospital, alerting them that you'll be coming. Why is there a special system for heart attack? This is because severe heart attacks need specialized care as quickly as possible. Not all hospitals have specialized teams and equipment to care for heart attack quickly. For this reason, the health system, fire departments, Emergency Medical Services Agency, and the Health Systems EMS Agency worked with hospitals together to build a system of care for heart attack. If you call 911, paramedics can start your care, transmit the EKG to the hospital, and alert them that you'll be there and that you're on the way. This speeds your way to recovery from a heart attack. Remember, you are the most important part of this team. Know the signs, discomfort or pain, pressure in the chest, upper body, including the neck, shoulder, or arm, unusual sweating, nausea, shortness of breath, or dizziness. If you or anyone you know has these symptoms, press 911. More information is available on the San Mateo County Health System website at smchealth.org and on our Facebook page, which is linked to the health site. Printed information is available at libraries and at the Senior Center. Again, this is Jan Ogar Andrea, guest host of Keeping Pace with Your Health, and it's been my pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you very much.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
This is the home of Radio Magazine, locally produced shows heard exclusively on AM 1710 and 100.9 FM.
Father Carousel, Father Carousel.
Coastside Carousel, the show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's. Good food and good times for the entire family.
Hi, this is Michael Kay with another edition of Coastside Carousel. This week's guest is Sean Solo, a local musician out of Montara, playing here locally in Half Moon Bay. But before we begin, let me remind you that we are sponsored by Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn and now RV Park. Cameron's Pub and Inn, you can't miss it at the south end of town. The red double-decker bus parked out in front, and 80 bottles of beer on the wall. Come on into Cameron's for a great time where they have karaoke on the weekends and open mic on Thursday night. Cameron's Restaurant, Pub and Inn. And now, let me introduce our guest, Sean Solo. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Really good to be here.
It was so nice to talk with you earlier today and about your music. You're composing a lot of original music, I believe.
Yes, yeah, I have been. Well, I have been for half my life at this point, but the material I've been playing now has been over the past 2 to 3 years. Keeps growing from there.
If you were to think back on your primary musical influences, people that really impressed you when you want to listen to somebody else's stuff and pull a CD down or grab a YouTube of them, what names come to mind?
That's for me, that's an easy one because they're still my heroes. Probably two at the top of my list are Fats Domino, who I've been listening to since, well, honestly, I don't even have a first memory of how long I've loved Fats Domino, and Dr. John, both New Orleans musicians. My grandparents were music lovers, saw music all over the world, but one of their favorite places to see it was the New Orleans Jazz Fest. And I got to go a couple years right after Katrina, one with my grandpa. Saw Dr. John there, unfortunately missed Fats Domino because it was the year after he'd been helicoptered out of his flooded house. But those are probably the top two musicians who influence me to this day. I mean, it just goes on and on and on from there. But Dr. John, as far as performance, is really up there because, you know, the Night Tripper, everything he does, how he presents himself, purple fedoras, you know, the list goes on. And I also read his autobiography as well, which was not always inspiring in the right ways, but definitely in the inspirational ways.
Yeah, I hear you about New Orleans and New Orleans-style music. I haven't been there post-Katrina, but I'd been down there a few times prior to that. And one of the things I remember so distinctly about Bourbon Street is how much music is part of the fabric of that town. You walk down the street, and it's almost like being on a sound set with a movie being produced. You hear different voices and different rhythms coming out of each of the different clubs as you just walk down the street, and they just sort of meld one into the other to the other. It's just a beautiful musical experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not to mention all the street musicians, or you find yourself at a cafe or a club and those street musicians just walk in and no one bats an eye when they start playing. And it's not just anyone wandering off the street. I mean, although it literally is, it's they're talented. You know, there's troops who pass through. And the first time I went to New Orleans was on tour with a band I've been in for the last 15 years called Walken, named after Christopher Walken. I remember falling in love with it right away. You know, the magic of it, the seediness of it, everything about it. There's just something so beautifully gritty about that place. And wherever you go, you just feel it. Sitting on the Mississippi River with my guitar is where I ended up writing some of the things that I play today, you know.
Isn't it funny? Because New Orleans and people, of course, have the image of Mardi Gras, which can almost be Fellini-esque, and yet it is so real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing about that place is anything but what it is, and it owns it, you know. It has the rights to all those things.
So, Sean, you also mentioned to me that you're, in addition to your solo work, you're also working with a trio.
Yeah, that's right. Started with the goal to have a set of music, of originals, that I could play in front of people by myself, mm-hmm. which was probably the thing I was the most terrified to do. And I got to that place. But along the way, I just started playing my songs with anyone who'd play them with me. To date, that includes primarily my friend Tony, who's in a local band called Lighthouse, and my buddy Vincent, who I started playing with really when I first started writing my original material mm-hmm. for this project. And so together the three of us call ourselves No Eager Men.
Okay.
And which I guess you'd call it the name of our band. It's almost more of the amalgamation of where the songs have come to
mm-hmm.
when we play them as a trio. Because yeah. I still find myself playing them with anyone I sit next to.
There
you know, and so who knows what it'll be called as it keeps going, but No Eager Men is what we're doing now as a trio.
Are you getting an opportunity to play much locally here in Half Moon Bay? Or?
Yeah, I am. Hop Dogma has been a spot that we've become really comfortable at,
mm-hmm.
and so we end up playing there. It's been probably every 3 or 4 months now,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is a nice little break in between. And then we usually play for about an hour. And if, as I'm sure you've seen music there,
mm-hmm.
it's just such a cozy, wonderful place. Sun setting behind you on a Saturday or Sunday. I actually started out at Cameron's, the open mic. That's
yep.
sort of where I got my feet wet.
So many of our guests here have.
Right?
Yep.
I played at Highway 1 Brewery. That was another really special place to play. I actually put on house shows and parties at my house in Montera.
Okay.
And so I'll let you know about that there. I don't throw my address out to everyone in the world. But,
you probably don't want to broadcast.
Yeah, exactly. But the invites can be found, you know, through the right channels. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then I play up in San Francisco once a month or so.
Do you ever make it over to Chinese Melodrama, to Randy and Lisa's?
I haven't been to their house yet.
Mm-hmm.
I invited them to play a show at Hop Dogma with me,
mm-hmm.
which was great.
Yeah.
And I get their invites and I see them around and I absolutely love them.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't made it to their house yet.
Yeah, they're just down the street from me as it turns out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love that they do things outside of music too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, music is obviously a focus of theirs, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, the open invitation art events they have, and I think that stuff is truly inspiring.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we, all of us who are involved in the arts, have more dimensions than just the form that we may be known for, whether it's playing music or painting or writing or whatever it may be. There's just something about the creative impulse that exists in some people and just gets manifested in different forms.
Absolutely. I've noticed the more I've focused on the creative part of my life, which I did a lot as a younger person and I'm getting back into now, I can talk more and more with an artist of any kind, visual, audio, whatever it is, and it's almost like we all share that, like, that moving, thriving pulp inside of us that needs to create, and we tap into it and then we produce and we can share that. And then those conversations often lead to artwork for an album, you know, or live art at a dance show
mm-hmm.
or something like that, where you start to speak the same language with people and you can take your tool out of it, your paintbrush
yes.
or your guitar or your voice or whatever it may be, and you realize you're coming from the same inspiration, saying, this is what I have to do. I'm making these things beautiful. I'm taking my feelings and expressing them this way and sharing it with people.
I had a thought because, you know, although I'm a musician as well, I also work on bonsai, Japanese bonsai trees. I have for 40 years. And the common thread that I see with music and that and any art form is the contradiction of opposites. On the one hand, you have a structure, whether it's a 8-bar, 12-bar, 16-bar format in 4-4 time or 3-4 time in a certain key, or it's a formal upright Chokan bonsai tree where the heaviest branch is placed lower than the next branch as it occurs in nature. But so you have the structure on the one side, then its opposite is the creative impulse in synthesizing
the structure and the creative impulse together to create art, I think, is what's really fascinating.
Definitely. And that's what makes it, I mean, you can't have one without the other.
You can't.
You need to have the structure to support the life, but the structure by itself is
dead.
It's non-living, yes, inherently.
Yep.
And just how, you know, nature grows that tree.
Yes.
It needs to support itself, mm-hmm, as it just adapts to the world around it in,
yes,
a free-flowing, completely unique way that's also part of everything else around it. And I could have been talking about music right there. Maybe I was.
Probably were.
And that's
as well
how it goes. Whereas, yeah, when we sit down to create music, we're doing the same thing, you know?
Yes.
We have a song, for example.
Yes.
And with that song, we create something.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be different every time.
Yes.
On purpose or by accident.
Exactly. I mean, even science, sometimes the greatest discoveries are by accident.
Exactly.
Looking for one thing and you find the thing that you didn't even know you were looking,
exactly,
for.
Exactly.
Yeah. Subconscious is a funny thing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, you know what? I think it's time to play a little bit of your music. And
fantastic.
So we're going to peel away and plug a couple of your songs. Anything in particular you'd like us to play today?
Yeah, the first track I gave you is called Keep Dreamin'. And
yep,
it's what we like to open our set with. And it's short and sweet and energetic. And I don't know, I think it kind of sets the pace for what we're doing.
Okay. And for a follow-on song?
I think Make Sounds.
Make Sounds. Okay, so folks, first we'll have Keep Dreaming and then Make Sounds.
I don't want to say it ain't never gonna happen, cause it ain't gonna do no good. You keep telling me something's gonna happen, you better knock on wood. Whoa, you better knock on wood. Keep dreaming, it might come true someday. Keep dreaming, isn't that what they say? I'm betting on the underdog, cause when he's won, the odds are gonna pay me off 50-1. So keep dreaming, where there's a will, there's a way. If there's one thing that I'll give you, you're stubborn as a mule, but you only got enough water to keep your own glass full. Oh, to keep your own glass full. Keep dreaming, it might come true someday. Keep dreaming, isn't that what they say? I don't believe in fairy tales or free milk and honey any more than I believe there's a chance for you, honey. So keep dreaming, where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. There's a way. Up, break down, run around, break bones, break hearts, rebound, take numbers, take part, make rounds, take hopes, take hearts, make sounds. Sounds a lot like love to the nurturing ear. Sounds a lot like love if love is what you're trying to hear. Shake hands, shake limbs, no bounds. Shake hands, shake hearts, unwound. Make more, make rounds, cover ground. Make up, make love, make sound.
sounds a lot like love to the nurturing ear. Sounds a lot like love if love is what you're trying to hear. If love is what you're trying to hear.
Well, Sean, thank you very much for coming here today to submit to the interview process. I hope it wasn't too painful for you.
No, not at all. I really love talking about what I'm doing in my music. And I always say, if you're going to put yourself out there, even if you don't know it, you really want to share what you're making with people.
Of course
and
you do.
I'm happy that I know I want to do it.
That is very
exactly.
Nice.
I write it for myself. I write it with my friends for us and to do it because I love it. And the, you know, half the reason that ends up being a result of that is so I can share it with everyone around me and hopefully put a smile on their face, if not something greater.
So for anybody that wants to listen to your music or get in touch with you, what's the best way to find you?
Right now, the best way is Facebook. My name is Sean Kohler, K-O-H-L-E-R is the direct way to find me. And Sean Solo, which is S-O-L-O-W, is the best way to find my music. There's downloads there, and I'm on Bandcamp and SoundCloud, all the usual avenues for that. And then No Eager Men, the trio we spoke of earlier, will be playing on April 12th at the Arts and Music Fair at Café de Milano on Ocean Avenue, 1314 Ocean Avenue.
Okay.
We'll be playing at about 5 o'clock.
Okay. That's San Francisco?
Yeah, okay. San Francisco.
Terrific. Okay. Well, thank you very much. And once again, let me remind you that this show is sponsored by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub, and Inn. Always a good time at Cameron's. Until next time, this is your host, Michael Kay, keeping it real.
On the carousel. On the carousel.
You've been listening to Coastside Carousel, featuring the music and artists of our local entertainment community. For suggestions and comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us carousel@khmbradio.com.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the AM 1710 Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
Hello everybody, Jacob Smith here with your Half Moon Bay movie pick for this week. Sacha Baron Cohen is known for his many characters, such as Borat the Azerbaijan reporter, Bruno the flamboyantly gay fashion reporter, and Ali G, the moronic faux gangster from Stains in London. With the Brothers Grimsby, Cohen unleashes yet another buffoonish character on the world, namely Nobby Grimsby, the English soccer hooligan with a heart of gold. Cohen has said that he has based his character on the Oasis frontman Liam Gallagher. He's from the north of England, loves soccer, his rotund wife, played by Rebel Wilson, and is in search for his long-lost brother, Sebastian, who was separated from him when they were small children. After their separation, Nobby and Sebastian would have put on two distinctly different paths. Nobby stayed in Grimsby, wallowing in life of booze and football fandom, while Sebastian was adopted by a rich couple who swept him away to live a life of privilege, culminating with his employment as a secret agent for a private espionage firm. Nobby starts his search for Bob and tracks him down to a high-profile political rally. Bob is there attempting to stop any potential assassination, but just as he is about to take a life-saving shot, Nobby hugs him, making him miss his target and hit a member of the rally. This sets Nobby and Sebastian on a path to clear his name, which takes them around the world attempting to thwart a terrorist group's efforts to unleash a deadly virus that will wipe out half the world's population. As you expect, there is plenty of broad comedy in The Brothers Grimsby, which is delivered in Coen's typical bombastic way. Physical comedy is mixed with political satire, with some of it working and some of it falling a little flat. Personally, I enjoy Baron Cohen's improvised characters a little more than his fully scripted work, where he is able to showcase his incredible improvisational skills and quick thinking. But with his rise in prominence, it has meant a lack of anonymity, making it more difficult to pursue this side of his creativity. There has been some criticism leveled at The Brothers Grimsby for its lack of sensitivity, which is both valid and a little misguided. Cohen is an equal opportunity offender, and there isn't an aspect of life he is unwilling to make fun of. I think his view is that everything is fair game, or nothing is. So if you're easily offended, you're going to be offended. There are plenty of race, religion, and political jokes lumped in with a healthy dollop of gross-out humor. The saving grace for Cohen is that none of it comes from a place of hate, but rather of reflection. That's your Half Moon Bay movie pick for this week. I'm Jacob Smith. Happy watching!